Today is an amazing day. I mean, you know, when you get in God's presence, He has a way of changing our perspective of things. He has a way of opening our hearts and our minds, changing how we feel inside, renewing our minds. And I'm not going to get too far into that because I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. But it is so good to see you guys here this morning. Can you do me a favor and cut those lights on the back? Is that going to mess it up? That's all right. I like to see everybody. I can't see you when you're hiding out. I see a couple of faces, man. I'm glad to see you in the house. Thank you guys so much for coming. Those of you who are joining us online, thank you so much. We're glad to have you guys, whether you're here as we're doing it live now or watching it later. I'm grateful that we have this opportunity, man. And so, again, like I said before, this gives us ways. This thing that we've gone through, this quarantine, the virus, the different things that are happening, has given us opportunities to do new things. Things we never would have done before, and maybe probably we should have. You know, how many know we should have been putting these things online a long time ago, our services online so people could be a part of it a long time ago. You might not agree. Rachel agrees with me. Everybody else is just sitting there quiet. Yeah, look, you can be loud today, okay? Today you can talk back. That's one of the things I miss the most is you talk to a lot of speakers, they feed on the emotions of the people they're speaking to, honestly. And when you do that in your conversations, when you're talking to somebody and they're really into your conversation, you get really into it, right? But when you're talking to somebody and they're just like, then that's where your attitude goes, right? Be honest. And so it was difficult for me to preach to three people and a camera, right? it was difficult, man. I mean, I'm glad for those three people and the camera, but I'm glad you guys are here. And if you're on a camera, no offense, I still love you guys. I'm glad you're here too. But today today's the Memorial Day weekend. I can't talk right now. My brain's working too fast. Let me slow down. Today is Memorial Day weekend. Like a lot of things that we observe, we look to the things we do more than the reason we observe. You look at Christmas, we look at giving gifts more than we look at Jesus a lot of times. Not everybody, but as a whole. For Easter, we look at Easter bunnies and candy for little kids and buying these really cool new outfits to wear to church, right? Sometimes more than we look at the resurrection of our risen Savior like we should, right? You can do that with pretty much every holiday that there is. Valentine's Day, we look at what are we going to buy them, what are we going to get them, what are we going to do, instead of showing them that we love them, right? Today, Memorial Day, I'm going to give you a history lesson. And then I want to show us the dangers of not remembering things the way that we should. You guys ready? Man, I'm crying already, and this ain't even a cry part. I'm just so excited you guys are here, man. So, yeah. Ah. They love you guys, man. The blessings cause us to overlook the reasons. So I'm going to give us a history lesson. Y'all ready? Memorial Day. I'm going to stop crying. Official holiday in the United States. It was observed May 30th until 1971. When four federal employees, they changed the date to the last Monday in May, also known as Decoration Day. The reason why it was Decoration Day is because the custom of placing flowers on graves of war veterans, of the people who passed away during wartime, began on May 5th, 1866 in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the original birthplace of Memorial Day. In 1868, General John Logan, then president of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared that May 30th would be the day to decorate the graves of comrades with flowers for those who died in defense of their country during that latest rebellion. After World War I, it was set aside to honor all Americans who died in wars. And then the custom was extended to pay tribute to deceased relatives, to friends, both military and civilian. And we honor this day, Memorial Day. Let me say this. We are supposed to honor this day in remembering those who have gone before us, in war or not. And I know my mom and dad, they would always go back at this time and they would decorate my grandparents' graves. And that was a thing they did every year. And I'm going to keep going. I'm going to come back. So if I go next door, right, this is how I'm going to start into my message today. If I go next door and I talk to the kids that are over there and I say, what is Memorial Day all about? This goes along with my point that John made last week that hit me right in the teeth I told y'all about. Y'all remember? He said, if my five-year-old causes me to lose my anger, it's not my five-year-old needs to be better. I need to be a better parent. This is me saying I need to be a better parent to my kids that are next door, because my kids are two of the ones that are over there, right? But if I go to them right now and I say, what is Memorial Day about? I'm pretty sure I'm going to get the answer. We don't have school. We get to grill out. We get to go swimming. Mom stays home from work. They don't even understand. They don't understand why we do what we do. They don't understand what it's about. And part of that is because if we look in the scripture, God puts things in place so that we remember. One of the greatest things that God has given us is our minds, right? One of the greatest gifts, our minds, our memories, to be able to remember things, to be able to grow, to be able to do things. And until you're around a family member that's losing that, you don't really understand how true it is, right? I lost a grandmother. She had Alzheimer's. It runs in my family. You know, it's one of those things. So you don't really understand how important that is until it's gone. A lot of us don't. A lot of us didn't understand how good it was to go and just buy toilet paper off the shelf until we couldn't, right? And then it was so like John said last week, man, all I can do. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop. John did an amazing job last week. If you missed it, go online and listen to it. Go online and listen to it. You need to hear it. And I'm going to use a little point. I'm going to use kind of one of the points, but I'm not going to go way into detail. I'm going to tell you, refer back to John last week. In what I'm talking about in a minute, but he nailed it when he said, when I walk into a store, the first place I'm going to see if they got toilet paper and paper towels. You know, there's now toilet paper and paper towels on most of the shelves, right? But you know what? I'm still like, do they got paper? Okay, they got it. I can come back tomorrow and get it. Right? That's where my mind goes right now. And if y'all are honest, y'all probably do it too, right? We're trained that way. We now. The problem is if you look at our generations, we're losing the memory of what happened to bring us to where we're at. We're losing the memory of what God has done and the people that God has placed in certain positions to give up everything that they have so that you and I can have the freedom to talk about how bad it is and how we don't like it, right? Not all of us do that. I'm just saying. And this is part of the issue, because we haven't taught our children to respect certain things and to honor certain things and to do certain things the way that we should. And you say, well, I have. Okay. Let me just say this. I have not raised my children, and if the shoe fits, you can wear it too. Okay? We need to do a better job, and we need to recognize that if we don't keep telling our kids how and showing our kids how to do things, we're going to lose certain areas of our history, of what we should be, of what we should do, especially when it comes to God. Especially when it comes to God. We ought to recognize today and every other day the people who gave their lives so that we could be who we are, so that we can do what we do, so that we can have freedoms. One of the biggest one of those is God giving his son and Jesus giving everything. What does the scripture say? No greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for another. Than he lay down his life for another. This, today, I want you guys to teach someone, to talk to someone about. I want you to look back and remember maybe some people in your family that have passed away giving their life. I love the memorials that they have where you can go and you can see the people who died on those certain things. Whether I agree with why they were there or not, doesn't matter. They were there and they did it for us, right? They did it for us. And we need to remember that. We need to mourn the loss. We need to remember their lives, and we need to be thankful for their sacrifice. I want us to look at some stuff. I'm going to look at some scripture, and now I want to change from that, but we're going to keep that in mind in what I'm talking about today, because I'm going to talk about the dangers of not remembering, of not giving honor where it's supposed to, where it should be, of not doing the things correctly. Deuteronomy 6:12 says this. It's not on your notes. I added it in. Well, yeah, it is on your notes. I added it last night. He added it this morning, so you guys should still have it. It says, "Take care then, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery." Take care in what you do so that you don't forget the freedom that you have and how you got it, right? The person that brought you to this freedom in our lives. The person that brought us from a life of sin and death to new life, to new creation, to what he's given to us, freedom from the house of slavery. Deuteronomy 8:2 says this, "You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep those commandments." How many of you know it's really easy to keep commandments or keep things or do things or remember things when it just happened? But give it about 10 years. Do you know what? When 9/11 happened, we never gonna forget. But now we say, well, we remember it, and I don't really remember how it happened, but it happened, and I think I was here when it happened, and I think this, and I'm not sure, and I don't really remember how many people passed away in that, or do you see what I'm saying? We do that all the time, and most of all, we do it with God. And where is the most important place for us to keep teaching is to our generations to come, our children that are behind us, the ones that are going to come up so that they don't forget. The art of quilting, is that even around hardly? I know one or two people that do it. Used to, everybody did it, right? Cross stitch, like you don't even see the pillows in the store no more, right? Like they don't even commercially make cross stitch pillows no more, right? There's a lot of things that were done that were good, cooking, man, look, some people just right now understand what it means to cook at home, and they don't like it. They are so glad them places opened up, right? I saw a video on Facebook. Look, I'm going to make you laugh for a minute, and then we'll go back to what I'm saying. I saw a video. It was a little girl, and they were from England. You could tell by the accent, I think it was England. And she's like, "Hey, this place is closed down." The girl's like, no. It's like, "Yeah, this place is closed. What about this place?" "Yeah, it's closed." "No. You're stuck eating mommy's cooking now." It's like, no, right? This is so horrible. Why? Because mommy can't cook. Why? Because she didn't learn. She wasn't taught, right? We forget some very important things that we need to teach our generations to come. And one of them is to not forget about God and what he's done in our lives. So I'm going to give you a homework reading assignment. All right, and I'm going to use some excerpts from it, but I want you to go back and read the whole story. I'm going to give you like a little overview. Daniel chapter 5, right? Belshazzar is the king now. Nebuchadnezzar was his father. I want to read something to you. How many of you know Daniel, when you read about Daniel, there were like three times that he was put in charge of stuff. So that means there were at least two times he was taken out of charge of stuff, right? Like he was put there. It's not so important. Let's take him away. The reason why he was put there is because they saw what God could do through him. And because of that, they're like, he needs to be in a good place. He needs to be put in charge. And then he gets taken away, and what happens? They forget about where God had brought him. They forget about what God had done. And so when you read about Nebuchadnezzar, you guys all remember King Nebuchadnezzar from when you were a kid growing up. If not, read the book of Daniel. It's an amazing book. It's crazy to understand sometimes, but it's an amazing book, right? So you go in there and you see how Nebuchadnezzar didn't serve God and walked away from it and then came back to it because of something that happened. And then he put Daniel in charge, and then Daniel comes out. And then right here, we see Daniel's not in a place of esteem, not in a place of authority anymore. And we see that Nebuchadnezzar had been brought down low. If you read, he was in the field eating like a cow, long hair, nails, crazy stuff. And then God delivered him from it. And this is what God said to him. And this is what he said at the end of the fourth chapter. And then we're going to start in the fifth chapter. You guys ready? I didn't put this part in your notes, but 37 says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in the pride, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." So he's like, hey, God is important, and you guys need to understand, you need to put him in the right place, right? That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. Now, the very next verse is, I'm sure it's a little while later. His son is in charge of things, and what does his son do? He decides to have, I'm going to go back and read it, but I'm just going to brief it. He decides to have a party, invite thousands of people. If you notice, the man of God is not invited to this thousands of people that are coming to the thing. Why? Because they say, oh, remember. I'm going to read it in a minute. Oh, remember when that happened, right? He's not there. They're doing all these things. He decides to take all of the treasures, the bowls, the things of gold, the cups that were taken from the house of God by his father and brought to where they are, to Babylon, right? And they bring them there. And he decides, hey, we're having such a good time. Ain't nothing going on. Y'all go get that stuff from them other gods and we're gonna party with it. They started drinking out of it. They started doing all these different things and disrespecting the things of God, okay? That's where we're at right there in the fourth chapter. And I want us to understand that not teaching our children the right way and not teaching them to remember and to honor the things that are coming, there's four things I want to talk about that are very dangerous. The first one is this. It's the danger of losing all sense of remembrance, right? The danger of remembering what had happened. Why did God tell the children of Israel to teach their kids, to teach them the principles, to talk to them about what happened? Why did he put the festival of the booths into place? Why did he put the Passover into place? Why did he put all these festivals in place so they would not forget? So they would not forget what God had done and who he was, right? Because the further out we get from something, the more we forget about what God has done, what he's brought us through, where he's taken us from, and the issues that we've had, right? We tend to forget. Daniel chapter 5, verses 10 and 12. So what happens is he's there, they're all partying, they're hanging out, and all of a sudden a hand starts writing on the wall. And all he can see is just a finger writing on the wall. And it writes something and nobody knows what it is. Like I said, I ain't gonna tell you what it is. You go read it. That's like a cliffhanger, like a commercial right there. Go read what it's all about. So he starts writing on the wall, right? Nobody understands what's going on. We don't know. We can't tell you what this is. All of his important people that are supposed to tell him those things could not tell him those things. And then the queen says this. The queen, verse 10, she said, "The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet hall, and the queen declared, 'O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your color to change.'" So when he saw it, he got really pale. He got very, very scared. How many of you know you tell somebody something and they get really, really scared? What happens? It's like the color drains from them, right? This is where he's at right now and everything changes. It says, "There is a man in the kingdom who is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers, because of an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, to explain riddles, and to solve problems was found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." What happened? The son of the king forgot what had happened to his father. He had forgot the fact that he was out in the field and God restored him. He forgot about the fact that God had taken care of the issues in the past. He had forgotten about what God can do and what the man of God, the women of God, the children of God can do when they're brought into the situation. Right? So let me say this. We are the ones that are supposed to be carrying the wisdom of God and giving it to the world. Okay? The first thing that we do is we are in danger of losing all sense of remembrance of the past. The other thing that we forget is the promises of God. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the promises of God. So go back and listen to that. I'm not going to go deep into detail, but I am going to give you a couple of scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22. I'm just going to read 20. It says this, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him, and that is why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory." Now the King James Version says it like this. You guys ready? "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." How are they completed? In our lives, for his glory. We forget the promises that he's never going to leave us. We forget the promises that he has a plan for us, and that if he's begun it, he's going to see it through to the end. We forget the promises that he makes to us about how he is going to take our sorrow and turn it into something amazing. How he can take something that seems to be destroyed and make something beautiful out of it. We forget those promises. Why? Because we don't remember what he's already done for us in the past. Where he's brought us from. We need to remember and not forget. Not forget. The next thing that we need to do is remember his gifts. Don't lose the remembrance of his gifts that he's given to each and every one of us. We get in the middle of situations and circumstances and we completely forget that God has given us the abilities and everything that we need to get through these situations. We forget about it. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says this, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied graces." Now, I'm going to stop right there for just 1 second, right? God has given me a gift so that I can use it to bless me. No. So that I can use my gift to bless you. God has given you a certain gift so that you can bless everyone that's around you. That includes me. I'm happy about that part, right? He's given each one of us a gift to be used, to use for the people that are around us. The problem is, the reason why some of us don't have gifts, 2 reasons, right? You guys ready? Because some of us are stingy and we don't share it. The other reason is, some of us hold of all of our issues and don't allow people to help us in the middle of them. We keep them bottled up. We keep them to ourselves. We don't want people to know. But let me tell you something, man. If you're going through an issue, there's other people that are going through issues too. And they might not be going through the same issues you're going through, but they've got issues. And you might be just the one to help them, but because you're not allowing them to come and help you with your issue, you're not going to find out that they have an issue. Does that make sense? We need to remember the gifts that God has given to us. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We also need to remember one thing about our gifts. I didn't have this in my notes. I'm just going to give it to you. Don't allow your gift to make you prideful. Because it's not your gift, it's something God gave to you to use for other people. I'm just saying. Romans 12, 6 through 8. "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if it's prophecy in the portion of our faith, if it's service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy, let him do them with cheerfulness." We need to remember not to forget the promises, not to forget the past, and not to forget the gifts of God. Amen? Y'all ready for number 2? Or do you want me to quit? Okay, good. Y'all ready for number 2 then? I mean, because I'm quitting, start back next week. I'm just saying. It's an option. Number 2, we're in danger of losing all sense of reality. How many of you know by not sharing what's actually going on in our life, we end up creating a false reality, not only in our own minds, but in other people's minds as well? Does that make sense? Well, it makes perfect sense to me, but I'm just making sure it makes sense to you guys. Sometimes I tell people, sometimes it makes a lot more sense in my head than it does when it comes out. So I just am checking, all right? Reality is this: the world or the state of things as they actually exist, as opposed to an idealistic or a notional idea of them. Problem is because of the things that we have in our lives, and I'm going to get to some of those in just a minute, but because of the things that we allow to take control of our lives, our world turns into something that it was never intended to be in our own minds. And it's not until the truth is brought to us that we see the reality of it. Our own actions, even. I'm going to show you a story. Y'all ready? I like to back everything up with a story in the Bible so that way you know that I didn't just make it up. We end up thinking that the world revolves around us when in fact it revolves around God. And we only see the reality, the truth. We only see that we're living in this reality when the truth comes to us. So David, you guys remember King David? It's in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm gonna read verses 1 through 6, but let me give you a brief summary of what's going on. You can read before this and find out. So David, as we all know, was king. God chose him to be king. You can read that at the beginning in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. You can read all through there and see what he did. He did some amazing things from God. Now let me preface this by this. Remember what we talked about the other day about it's really great the things that we did in our past, but what are we doing for God today? Right? So we see David did all these amazing things. He killed Goliath, and he treated Saul in the right way, even when Saul wasn't treating him in the right way. He honored God through everything that he did. And then when he came to this point, he got to a place that he was very prideful in himself and thought he could do whatever he wanted to do. That's the false sense of reality in his mind, okay? And we get to that point for many different reasons. Like I said, I'm going to get to that in a second. But we see David see Bathsheba, like Bathsheba, invite her over for tea, right? And then you know the rest of the story. He ends up killing her husband and then taking her as his wife. The whole thing comes out of God's graces because of it. David doesn't see an issue or a problem in it. Why? Because of the reality that he has in his mind that everything's okay. You ready? You guys on the same page? We're here? Okay. Nathan was sent by the Lord. The Lord sent Nathan to David, a prophet, to talk to David about what was going on in his life. He sent someone to say, this is the reality of what's going on. But he did it like Jesus did it, like so many other people did it. Like I try to do it when I'm talking to people. I use a story to bring about the point, kind of like a parable, right? I'm not a parable guy, but Jesus used parables, and Jesus, that's how he did it. So Nathan comes to David, and I'm going to read this to him. He says, and there comes a man. And he came to him and he said this, there were two men in a certain city, and one rich and the other poor. The rich man had many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat from the morsels and drink from his cup and lie in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. And now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or the herd to prepare for the guests who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb 40-fold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And that's when Nathan looked at him and said, David, that man is you. See, we do things because we lose the reality of what's actually going on and where God needs to be in our lives and in our situations. We allow false realities to come in and to change what we should be looking at in the scripture, what we should be looking at about what God wants to do, what we should be seeing in the situations that we're in. We forget one thing. Well, we forget a lot of things, but one thing that I'm going to share with you. We forget that the world doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around God and what God has and his plan and his purpose. We forget that we still need to look to God and allow Him to show us what to do in our situations. We get into the reality of we deserve this. I deserve this. That's the mentality of our country right now, really, honestly. We're being honest. Not to get political. I don't want to go there, but I'm just going to make this statement, then I'm going to run away from it. You ready? Our country has a mentality of I deserve. You need to give it to me. Right? That's not the mentality of that anyone should ever have. And honestly, we deserve way more than what we're getting, especially from God, right? Or we deserve the opposite direction. Let me say it that way. We don't want what we deserve, right? We don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve to be in His presence. But He makes a way for us. But it's funny that the way He makes a way for us is for us to humble ourselves and understand it's not about me. It's about Him and what He's done. It's about Him and what He's doing. It's about Him and what He will do. We forget this verse. Y'all ready? Romans 12:3. For by grace given to me, I say this to everyone among you, do not think more highly than he ought to, of himself than he ought to. Let me read that again because I just messed it all up. You ready? Romans 12:3. Let's just rewind and start again. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. We need to look to God and allow Him to renew our minds. We need to look to Him in the middle of our situation, in the middle of our chaos. Scripture talks, Aaron and I were talking about this before service, so I jotted this down and I went back to it. But I don't remember if it was today or yesterday, or I don't remember when it was, but he said something that came to my mind, talking about the armor of God. He says, when you have done all that you can, stand in the armor of God. And one of the things that God gives us, He gives us the belt of truth, and I believe that's us coming out, but He gives us the helmet of salvation, and that is to keep His truth in. Does that make sense? To not allow the enemy to put other things in. You know, like those tinfoil hats that people wear, you know? Everybody laughs at them because you're wearing a tinfoil hat. I don't want them to get in my mind, right? Maybe if we would put on a spiritual tinfoil hat, we wouldn't have as many issues in our lives as we have. I'm just being honest. Right? That was, that just came to me right now. Probably wasn't all that great, but it made sense to me, right? Ephesians 6 tells us about the whole armor of God that we need to put on, everything that we need to do. And one of those is to protect our mind so we don't allow false realities to get in there. So we don't allow the visions of that my mom used to have because I was 5 minutes late of me laying in a ditch somewhere, right? But be honest, that's kind of funny, but we all have done that in our situations in our lives, correct? Can't get a hold of my wife. Something's horrible. She's broke down and somebody's going to kidnap her. She just had to stand in line 5 minutes longer than I thought she should have, right? It's like nothing's going on. She quit worrying about me because she knows I'm going to stand and talk for 30 more minutes than what I told her, right? That happens. Like, true story. But we need to understand the reality of where we live is a world that God is in control and He's going to take care of us. How many of our children really truly understand that principle? Like, we understand it. But how many of our children, how many of the younger generation that's growing up, our teenagers, really understand that God is in control of what is happening? The next thing, number three. Can I keep going? Number three, the danger of losing all sense of restraint. And I put / self-control. How many of you allow outward situations to change us inwardly? I go back to the point that John made last week about allowing a 5-year-old, or in my case, a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old to completely destroy my attitude. And the way that I speak and the way that I talk and to lose control of myself. There's three things. The first one, restraint, losing all sense of restraint is because of anger. We become the Incredible Hulk in a bad way. right? We allow situations to come. Now, I'm going to tell you, I could have taken these and I could have preached like a whole series out of this and done a whole bunch of stuff. And maybe one day we will, but today I'm going to go through it quick. But anger. Ephesians says this. Says it's okay to be angry. Don't sin. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. Be angry. Do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. How many of you know we throw opportunities in front of him all the time? Right? We sit in the car and go over in our minds what we're going to say and how we're going to say it and what we're going to do. When knowing that we shouldn't do anything, really, right? We should allow God to fight our battles, to take care of our issues, to do the things that we need to do, right? The second thing that I want to talk about in this part is losing restraint and control is something that Pastor John talked about. So again, go back and listen to last week, and that's fear. Fear keeps us from doing what we know we should do. That doesn't sound like a bad thing, but what is the definition of sin according to Scripture? To know right and not do it. It doesn't say to know right unless you're really, really scared and then it's okay. Or to know right unless you're really, really angry and then we'll just let that one slide. No. It says sin is to know right and to not do it. We see in 1 Samuel, I'm going to tell you this really quick and then you can go back and check it out. 1 Samuel 17. This is David, Goliath, the Philistines, right? The whole Israelite army is there. And this one man comes out. He's 9 foot something, 3 cubits in a span, right? So he's 9 foot something. Some people say 9 foot nine. I don't even know what a span is, but that's what I'm talking about. I know a cubit's 3 foot because I looked it up. But anyway, I'm just being honest. Google machine works wonders. They're there and they're hiding. Why are they hiding? Because of fear. Now, what were they called to do? What were they? They were just shepherds they brought from the field and gave them a spear. No, these were soldiers that were fighting a battle and that were afraid. And it took a shepherd with a slingshot that says, God's with me, I'm not going to be afraid. 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to read verse 11, then I'm going to skip to 24 because I want you to see what they did. The Israelite men, Goliath's there, he comes out, he's hollering, he's shouting things about God, he's shouting things about the people. And verse 11 says, and when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. And then it goes through and tells a little bit more about what happens. And then verse 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and they were very afraid. They all started hiding in the bushes instead of doing what they were called to do. It was one person that wasn't trained to do anything except for by God, except for by what he had done, that said, this isn't going to happen. I'm going to step out and do something. How many of you know there were probably a lot of other men that were way better qualified to do this and could have done it, but fear kept them from doing it. Now, again, go back and listen to John's message last week about fear. And the last thing is this. We see it with David that I spoke about earlier, is pride. We lose our restraint because of pride. I don't know how many ministers that I've read about or heard interviews from that have fallen in one way or another, and they say, why? How could you have let this happen? How could this? How many of you know preachers are not any different than anybody else? Right? We got issues. We got problems. We got things that we face. We got fears. We got feelings. We got a lot of things. But when you look at the pastors that have fallen, that have messed up, that have done different things, I know 3 of them that I can think of their name personally, and I know 2 of them. And you say, why did this happen? And they said, I got too prideful in what I was doing and the gifts of God. And because of that, I had no self-control because I didn't think I needed it. Right? Proverbs, very simple about it, very quick about it. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Again, with the gifts God gives us and the things that we have, we need to remain humble and know that it's God at work in us and not ourselves. Because look in the Scripture and look in your own life. Whenever you handle things yourself, what happened? It fell apart. It blew up in your face. it didn't go well, and there was a bigger mess for God to help you clean up. Right? The other thing that we do by not teaching our kids and not showing them the right way and the way to remember things and the way to honor things is, number four, we have the danger of losing all sense of respect. When we go back to Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, King Belshazzar made a great feast for thousands of his lords and drank wine in front of thousands. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded the vessels of gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple of Jerusalem to be brought. The king and his lords, his wives, his concubines might drink from them, and they brought them in. The gold vessels they had taken out of the temple of the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king of the lords, they drank from them. It says this. I just read it twice, didn't I? Nope, it's okay. Then they brought them in, and they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and bronze, wood and stone. And then what happened? Then the finger appeared. Then God said, hey, wait a minute. It's not right. I'm going to show you again. But how many of you know the fear that was in his heart? How many of you know if Nebuchadnezzar would have taught his son about God and about how God should have been and where God should have been in that place and the respect that should have been there that he learned several different times? What have we taught our kids and the people that are looking up to us? The lessons that God had taught us several different times in our lives? That maybe they wouldn't be in the positions that they're in? Now, some of us are hard-headed, and we're going to go there regardless, right? I'm just being honest. But it's important that we take our time and that we train and teach and show so that there's a respect for God, for the house of God, for the things of God. And that God has put in the right place in their life. This is another issue going back to sin. So we go to Saul. 1 Samuel 16:30, Saul replied. So this is what happened. This is right when God rejects Saul as king because Saul took matters into his own hands. Go back and read it. It's in 1 Samuel 16:17. It's in that area. Read it. He decided he was going to do what a man of God, a priest, should have done at the time, right? He said if you read about it, he said, because I was scared of the people that were around me, I just went ahead and did it. Because I was scared of what the people were going to think, I just went ahead and did it. How many of the things that we do that are against the word of God or against what God has for us do we do because we're scared of the people that and what they're going to think about us? Like, I'm not going to share the gospel with this person because I'm scared of what my neighbor, this other friend that I have that's standing right there, is going to think or say about it. Or I'm not going to do this because what would people say? Or I'm not going to make a stand because of this because what would people say? This has nothing to do with the word of God, but do you know there's a lot of bullying that goes on, like in school? I remember when I was a kid, there was a ton of bullying goes on. But you know, all the people that were standing around could have stood up and said, hey, this ain't going to happen, and it would have stopped, right? But we didn't. Because why? Because we were worried about they was going to start picking on us, right? If I stand up, nobody stands with me, they're going to start picking on me, and I don't want to be picked on, so go ahead and pick on them, right? Y'all. Now, that's when we were kids. That's what happens. But how many situations in our lives right now as adults do we not do what we know that we should because of fear of what other people might think? How many times do we not stand up for God, for his word, for what's happening because we're worried about what is going to be said about us on Facebook or what's going to be posted about us or what's going to happen or how people are going to look at us? Just a thought. 1 Samuel 16:30, Saul says this because the man of God came to him and said, hey, this is what happened. And Saul said this. I'm going to read it to you, then I'm going to paraphrase it for you, right? He said, give you the Toby translation. He says, Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship. Look what he said there. I may worship your God. Make me look really, really holy, because I don't serve him, but you do, and the people do. And so I want to make sure that everybody thinks I'm good. I know that I've sinned. I know that I'm doing things wrong. But other people look at me and it's okay. Just let's play like it's all right. And because of that, we'll just move past it. He's not, I've sinned and I'm sorry. It ain't going to happen again. It's not, I've done this thing and I need to have not have done it. See, that's the difference between Saul being rejected and David being restored. Right? What did David say when Nathan said that to him? He fell on his face and said, God, I've sinned. Forgive me. What did Saul say? Hey, man, look, I know I've sinned, but let's just forget about that right now and just tell everybody how good I am, and then we'll just go on, right? And I probably won't do it again, maybe, right? That's Toby translated. Don't say exactly like that. But that's, how many times do we do that in our lives? Be honest. How many times do we do that in our life? God, you know what? I know that I've done wrong, but I don't want people to find out. I don't want people to know. Please, let's just skip it right now, and we'll address it at another time. How are we able to do that? Because we've lost respect for God and what he should be and the place that he should be in our lives, to be honest. And this is the thing about all these things. So, I'm gonna tell you a parable, right? Me and my wife have two different ways of getting in cold water when we go to the springs. He's like, what does this have to do with anything? Just stay with me, okay? When I go, because we're going to go to the springs in a little bit, I think. This is our plan anyway. I don't know. It might be packed. But when I get in cold water, do you know what I do? I'm all in, man. If I'm going to get cold, I'm going to jump in. Everything I got, just get it over with, right? My wife, she just takes one little step and stands on that step for a little while and gets kind of accustomed. Then maybe takes another little step and gets accustomed. And then maybe takes another little step and gets accustomed. Do you know how sin jumps into your life? It ain't head first. It's just a little bit at a time until you get accustomed to it. And then a little bit more as you get accustomed. Now, I'm not saying my wife sinned. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying just a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Remember a while back we talked about playing in the ocean when I was a kid and I was in front of my condo and I ain't supposed to stay in front of the condo and I play and I play and I play. I don't run the other direction. I play and I play and I play and I look up and then it's way over there. That's how sin is in our life. That's how these things, the lack of respect for God, that's how we allow our self-control and our restraint to be gone. That's how all these things come into play in our life. How we lose the remembrance. How we allow the reality to change to what it shouldn't be. Because if I took this if I took this and I said, hey, this is where you're at, you'd be like, no, I'm not. I would never go there. And then a couple months later, what happens? We're looking this way, we're looking this way, and then we find out we're there. That's how it happens. Do you know how our kids are not going to know who God is? Do you know how we're not going to remember and honor the things that we need to remember and honor? Is if we don't make a point to do it. If we don't make a point to do it. It's important. You say, well, it's not all that important. It is. Look at where we're at right now. With our country, with our young people that are coming up. Just look at it, right? And show how it's not important to give the real picture of what happened in history, to give the real picture of what men and women did for this country, to give the real picture, to just make it so much fun, make it so much this, make it so much that we lose the true meaning, the true purpose of what we're supposed to be doing and why God gave us these things to do. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm going to ask you right now, man, help us see these areas, these issues in our life. Help us not forget. Help us not forget who you are, what you want to do, what you've done already for us. Help us not lose the reality of where our lives are at, where they should be, Father. The reality of what your son has done for us. The reality of what men and women have done for this country, for us. Help us to remember those things. And more importantly, God, help us to teach those things to those that come behind us. Help us honor you. Help us point to you. Help us put things in place so that we don't lose who you are, who you should be. what you want to be in our lives, God. We ask for that now. Memorial Day is about remembering those who sacrificed everything so that we could have freedom. And again, Jesus Christ did that for you and for me so that we could have access. Heads bowed, eyes closed, you're sitting in here today or you're watching online and you've never accepted him into your heart and into your life. You said, well, I'm not good enough. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I'm at. And I can tell you it don't matter. Because the scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says that none of us can earn it, that it's a gift. It's not of us doing anything, one thing that's important, or we don't have to be good enough, we don't have to do this. It's a gift that comes from our amazing Father in heaven. Today, you need that gift. Today, you need that gift. You want to accept it. Just put your hand up in the air. I need that gift. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I need that gift. And I accept it now. I want you guys to all say this with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I need you. I need your gift, your son who died for me so that I could have forgiveness, so that I could have access to you. I accept it now. Help me be who you created me to be. Help me change. I give you my life. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good to us, amen. Let's celebrate. God is good. Let's enjoy the freedoms he's given to us in our country, in our lives, and let's share with everyone else the love, grace, and mercy that we have. Amen? I love you guys. We're going to stand up. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to pray and dismiss us in just a minute. But let's stand to our feet and talk about how good our God is. Amen?